Now, before we get into tonight's message, I didn't intend this at all. I didn't try to make this happen. In the old days, I did. I wanted to teach on a series, you know, so I would get my notes together, and we were going to teach on faith. So I'd have several lessons prepared, and I'd have outlines on faith, or maybe we'd have a series on the armor of God, you know. And so I'd go through and find all of that, and that's fine. That's a good way to teach. But the way the Lord has used me over the years is I'm pretty much supposed to become just be the library and let Him pull the volumes off the shelf and let Him put the messages together. So now, when he's doing a series, I find out about it about when you do. And I was, even tonight, it's another one. He's not through yet on this. And the last thing I did before I left the house was go to my own website and print off these last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 messages, the titles. Now, even if you were here, and even if you heard these, you're not done with these messages. I'm telling you, if you'll get what's in these messages, it will change your life. Not only for you personally, not only for your, if you need healing, if you need provision, if you need to know your calling, if you need whatever, God's ways are not going to change. And you're going to have to learn how to pray and receive His way, and not the way that religion or just people tell you. So I'm going to give you a list of titles here. It's the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 messages at my website under recent teachings. Tonight will be another one, and unless He changes the direction, which I doubt. And it starts off with number 275. These are at the recent teachings at my website, garycarpenter.org. I'm sure they're at ictusnetmedia.com. They're at daveroberson.org. Okay, number one. At mine, it's called number 275. I did it August 18th. It's called The Time Bandit. Now, you're either going to learn about the Time Bandit or he's going to keep stealing your time. Every now and then, Tim does a little thing. He hands me this form that he wants me to keep for a week. And it's basically got your whole day broke up in 30-minute segments. And you're supposed to, every 30 minutes, write down what you're doing. Not do it from memory. Do it live. I did that. He was wanting me to do it for a week. I said, sure, no problem. I'll do it. After the first 24 hours, I said, there's no way you're ever, ever going to see that piece of paper. Because if you'd asked me if I had any spare time, time to pray. No, I have no time. Uh-huh. Write down what you're doing. Really what you're doing. Not what you want other people to think you're doing. Not what you'd like to be doing. What you're really doing, you know. And you're going to find out you got more time to pray if you want to. Emphasis on if you want to. Well, the Time Bandit, and that's a good title. He is, one of the ways he steals your life is by stealing it hour by hour. The next one is called Kingdom Jurisdiction. It came through my mouth. I've already listened to it 2 or 3 times and taken notes. I'm telling you, there is a lot on that message. Kingdom Jurisdiction. The next one, I'm not going to go into these at too much length. The next one is called Receiving Answered Prayer. Now, if you don't have time to listen to any of the other ones, listen to that one. Receiving Answered Prayer. And doing it God's way. In that series, we went to Hebrews, where God says they did. You know, the reason the first group did not possess the land. How many of you think they wanted to possess the land? Everybody wants to live the abundant life. Most people don't. Why? Same reason he said there. They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Answered prayer comes by doing it God's way, not any other way. Sure is nice, and everyone's getting lots of amens and hallelujahs. And this is school, okay? The next one, receiving from heaven's resources. Did y'all know they don't print money in heaven? How many of y'all asking God for money? Nobody's raising their hand at all. We've got a church full of liars. And gee, I cast out that lying devil. Lying spirit. God don't have no money. You don't print any money in heaven. What you need is ideas. You need favor. You need the Holy Spirit moving on your behalf. It's not the real money. What you need is the flow to change. Heaven's resources. Heaven is in the realm of the spirit. You live in the realm of the material. But you are a unique creature. You are a creature, a species, able to function in both worlds. The idea is to receive from heaven's resources in the spirit. Your faith causes that to make a transfer and be manifest in the realm of the material. How do I do that, Brother Gary? It's called receiving from heaven's resources. Get that tape? The next one is intercession by faith. Now, I have been around all of this for about 30 years now. Got saved in 1980. I myself have never heard that message taught that way. Intercession by faith. After I taught it, as soon as I saw it, I said, where have I been? Where in the world have I been? Your faith can get a lot more accomplished than you think it can. Anyway, intercession by faith. I want to reteach all of these right now, and I can't. I can't. Then the last one that we did is, what do you want from God? Well, nothing in particular. That's probably what you're getting. What do you want? And I could put other titles on it. Learn how to focus your faith. Learn how to focus on something. Learn how to become single-minded on something until, bless God, you get it. Because God wants you to have it, and Jesus paid the price for you to have it. But now, anyway, I highly recommend those to you. You know I'm not doing it to get your money. They're free. The only reason I'm doing this, it will change your life. It's already changed mine. I'm already getting more answers to prayer than I got before. And I understood it to a large degree, but I'm understanding it better now. And you wait till the miracles we'll be talking about this time next year. I'm telling you. On to tonight's message. Hallelujah. Turn to John 18. This is during the trial where Jesus was brought before Pilate. Pilate asked the question of the centuries, the question of the ages, that you'll find the answer to nowhere else except God's Word. This is the question man has asked since there was man. So we'll pick it up in verse 36. Pilate is interrogating Jesus. John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Now notice now. In the millennium, it will be different. But now, my kingdom, during the rest of this dispensation, now, it's not of this world. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king? Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Well, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." Now I want you to pay particular attention to these next few words. "He came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth." I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Well, that's the question of the ages. Man has been asking that. Go back, all your philosophers, what is truth? Some of the ridiculous stuff they tried to teach me in college, you know. I think, therefore I am. I'm telling you, you got to be careful with college, you know. The circular reasoning, an orange is round. The earth is round. The earth is an orange. You got to watch it, okay? Yeah. You can be educated far beyond your intellect if you're not careful. What is truth? Now, the reason that this message is so heavy, it's falling on my heart. It's falling right into the sequence of these previous messages I've been doing for a while without me doing it on purpose. See, what needs to happen? You are a child of the truth. If you're a born-again Christian, you are born of the truth. See, Pilate says, what is truth? Well, you already know the answer. It's John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, I'm going to emphasize it a little different. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and I am the truth. Not just he brought us truth, he did, because you can read that over in John 1:17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and what? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I was talking with a friend this yesterday, I guess it was, maybe this morning. I said, what's happening to me? What the Holy Ghost is doing in me right now? He is changing my perception of what truth really is. See, normally, a normal human, if you get attacked with symptoms in your body, we could be anything. Let's just pick something, just something to talk about. Cancer. A woman would get a lump in her breast, maybe, and usually the first thought in our generation is what? Oh God, better have that checked. See, and see, it's dangerous to preach along this line because you've got people that are just brand new in the Word, they're brand new in the faith, and they're going to take what I say next, and they're going to say, "Well, I'm not going to go see a doctor." You better go see a doctor. I'm not saying that at all. But see, the way a normal human is, any kind of symptom that occurs in your body, the first reaction you're going to have to it is, oh, that's what's happening to me. That is truth. Maybe that's cancer. It's obvious that I have the lump. If it's a lump in your breast, it's obvious that I have the lump. With a guy, it could be other things, You start going, I better have this checked, and you should. But what happens is, what is truth? See, Jesus says, Father, thy word is truth. Well, Jesus is the word made flesh. He is the word from the beginning and before the beginning, was with God and he was God. Jesus is the manifestation of God's word. Let's say it another way. He is the manifestation of the truth. If you want to know the truth, look at Jesus. Well, the world, if you get cancer, the world says the truth is you're probably going to die. Jesus says you don't have to die. And that's the difference. What do you think is the truth? Let's say it another way. What is truth to you? And if it's God's word, there's a name for that. It's called faith. If God's word is truth to you, that's called faith, see? Well, what is truth? Anymore? I mean, I'll be 64 in January, and, anymore things that... In my lifetime, I've had heart disease, I've had cancer, I've had polio when I was 5.5 years old, I've had all kinds of things happen to my body, okay? And up until I started hearing about God's word and hearing about faith, I just like everybody else. Well, boy, these circumstances that are happening to me, that's the truth, and I got to deal with it, and you got to handle it only natural ways, and I'm sure hoping that the chemo and all of that works, and that's really, you put your hope in all those things, and I'm not against those things. But see, I'm really not teaching on healing. That's just an example tonight. I'm really teaching about revival. Because we're not going to have revival till we're walking in truth. Revival is truth. Revival is truth manifested in the earth. It's what God is. Jesus came to, says, I came to bear witness of the truth. What is the truth? God's word is the truth. I am God's word made flesh. If you want to, God said all through the prophets, all through the Old Testament, I am a healer. You do remember when that leper got healed, he says, there was all these lepers in the Old Testament, not one of them, not one Israelite leper, it says, got healed, not one, except Naaman, and he was a Syrian. He wasn't even a covenant guy. He wasn't even part of the covenant. He says, not one of them got healed. Yet God's, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread. I will bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. The prophets have said, and the word of God would come, and I will heal thee. I will heal thee. And nobody believed it. Nobody got healed. So God says, what can I do? I know. I'll put legs on my word and send him Jesus. The prophet said I heal. He'll show you I heal. I am the truth. I am the truth. Yes, sir. We'll just go to it right now. I wasn't going to do this till later, but he's the boss. So I just work here. Y'all remember the woman with the issue of blood? You remember her? Says she spent all this money on doctors and all that she had. I think it says she spent all that she had on doctors and she only grew worse. Can anybody relate with that? Terminal cases, you know, and they send you home to die, you know. Well, in her case, the best medical science had to offer, okay, we've done everything we can for you. There's no hope for you. Now, my question to you is, what is truth? See, she found out Jesus was walking by. Jesus was coming through town. Let's do it another way. The truth was walking through town. Now, what is the truth? She could either go with what the world said and die, or she could say, I'm going to go hang on to the truth. If I can just touch the truth, I'll be healed. Boy, when she touched him, it said virtue just came out of him. He did it. And get this, it wasn't his faith. You know how you know? He doesn't lie. He turned around, he said, who touched me? You think he knew or didn't know? He didn't know. It says he laid down his divinity. He's up unless the Lord tells him. He didn't know. The Lord meaning the Holy Spirit in this case, unless the Holy Spirit would reveal it to him as a man. And he said, who touched me? He didn't know, but he felt there's something, he could feel that power, something go out of him. And this woman says, it was me. Okay. She was reluctant to do it because a woman with an issue of blood, according to the law, wasn't even supposed to go out in public. She wasn't supposed to be there. But she went past religion and found the truth. Glory to God. That's what God's trying to get us to do. Get past our preconceived notions. It's worse than that. Get past everything you've been programmed with till this point in your life. Not only by religion, but just what the natural world. That natural, we say, that sounds nice. How about a fallen world? That does not operate according to his ways. It's fallen. It's got a curse on it. What is truth to you? I was dealing with a person that has hypochondriac tendencies. You know what that is? Well, it means, you know, they tend to, well, maybe I have that. You know, I got a symptom. So get on the internet. Oh, God. You know? You know, and here's some more symptoms. I think I've had those. And I'm not making fun. I mean, people really suffer with this, you know. I mean, really, they do. And I was dealing with this person in a real case, and they already had a certain kind of disease, but now they were literally thinking, because they'd had a couple of symptoms, well, now it had developed to the next stage of that disease. And the next stage of that disease is really, really bad now. I mean, really bad. You can't function hardly. You can't do anything. But this person knows the word enough, I'm able to talk to him like an intelligent person. I said, look, you can have that next level if you decide to receive it. If you decide to receive that as truth, you can have it if you want it. But if I was you, I'd reject it. Because by his stripes, you were healed. When are you going to dig in your heels and say, this far and no more? I'm not receiving that next one. In fact, I'm going to work on getting healed from this last one. And even that is not saying it right, get healed. He healed you 2,000 years ago. See, this makes sense. It's so simple when you keep it in salvation. Do you think God is sitting up there? Okay, here's 20 people come to the altar. Good old Southern Baptist. Let's go Southern Baptist message. They preach Christ crucified. They preach hell hot and heaven sweet. And boy, when they give the altar call, you can smell the sulfur. Here they come. Don't ask me. I mean, I know. I've been there. You've been saved 20 years. You feel like going to the altar. You go to the altar. Here's 20 guys coming. 20 of them. Now, do you think God in heaven, here's 20 of them come to get saved. They come to get saved. Is God in heaven going, let's see now, I choose to save you. Yeah. Every one of them does the same thing. They confess their sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I confess him as my Lord. They do exactly the right thing in their heart. Every one of them is sincere. Do you think God is sitting up there somehow going, I'll save this one? Don't like that one. I'm not saving him. I'm saving this one. Do you think he's making those present tense decisions right now? He made up his mind about salvation 2,000 years ago, and the salvation has been provided. It is there for the taking, and so is your healing. He's not sitting up there waiting to... Religion will tell you he's holding back. You're not receiving. And boy, that's hard when you're in pain and hurting, and I've been there. I'm not a guy that's unfamiliar with this stuff. You don't want to hear it. And I'll tell you this, you can get so far into that pain and suffering and hurting, you become unaccountable. We're going to look at that in a minute. That's that message, intercession by faith. You need to hear that one. People got healed without a lick of faith. You get on their part. Other people use their faith to get them healed, and you can too. But I'm talking about most of you that's hearing my voice. If you're hearing my voice, you're probably not in that place yet. You've not become unaccountable. If it's you yourself that needs a deliverance or a healing or whatever it is you need from God, what is it you need? But he is not sitting up there. You've got to get past that mindset. Well, he's chosen not to heal me. That is an insult to the stripes on Jesus' back. That is an insult to the cross. That'd be just like saying he chose. And I've actually dealt with people in prison that thought God was saying, no, I will not save you. I don't care that Jesus did die for you. They still say, no, what I did is too bad. He won't save me. Well, if they keep on with that, they're going to wind up in hell. Because that is the opposite of faith. Now, see, when you keep it just on salvation, you know that's true. He is not withholding salvation from anybody, is he? In that same way, now, just keep it simple. He is not withholding healing from anybody. Your healing is as much yours as salvation is to any sinner. Let's get that established first. Now, how do you receive it? How do you change? See, if that's the case, let's say it another way. If that's the truth, and you're walking full of sickness, what does that mean? You're walking in a lie. You're living a lie. Say it another way. You're not walking in truth. I didn't say you didn't love God. I didn't say you're not on your way to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. I didn't say that. I said in that area right there, you're walking in error. You're walking in a lie. The devil has convinced you. How did he convince you? Oh, I've got all these notes up there, and he won't even let me go up there. They're not really notes. They're just scriptures, so I know where to turn. He does it through the unjust judge. I'm not even going to... I have it marked. Find it your own self. It's in the New Testament. It's the unjust judge. And you know the story. This widow woman, she came, and this is an unjust judge. He didn't regard God or man. I mean, you know, he didn't care about you. And this widow came and says, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. And he wouldn't do it. He said, didn't care about her. But it says because she kept coming and she kept coming, she pestered him. She kept coming and coming and coming and coming. Finally, he says, all right, I'll give you what you asked for. See, and that's the way most people think God is. Here we go again. You got to storm the gates of heaven. He has all of your blessings locked in behind this iron gate in some kind of castle in heaven. And you got to storm the gates of heaven with your prayers and hoping that he opens it up a little crack, throws you out a crumb of blessing, slams the door shut until you finish storming the gates some more. He said, if you think that's how... See, that's a great hindrance to your faith. What he really says at the end of that parable is, and will not God avenge his elect speedily? God is not like that. He is not like that guy behind that door at all. He will avenge you speedily, see. What is that message of the unjust judge? And it took so long. It took hundreds of hours praying in other tongues till the Holy Spirit got it across to me. You know what that unjust judge is? That is your own soul. It's you. God has made up his mind. How does the devil convince you to walk in a lie? He presents evidence to your soul. How does he present evidence? Symptoms? Pain? Natural circumstances that come through the pain gate, the feeling gate, the emotions gate, the circumstances gate, and overwhelms you until you want to jump off a bridge? He presents evidence in the natural to the unjust judge, which is your soul. See, what makes it unjust, your soul? It makes no distinction between God's word and natural evidence. It considers them both the same. So here's most people. even after they hear the message. Because what God's after you to do is take His Word, and you present God's Word to your own soul. How would you do that? One way I do it is I start saying it out of my mouth. By His stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. He blesses my bread. He blesses my water. He takes sickness away from the midst of me. I don't forget the Lord and all of His benefits, who forgives all mine iniquity, who heals all my diseases. See, you start presenting evidence to the unjust judge. And most Christians, most really dedicated, if you can get them to do that 15 minutes a day at a time, that would be really something. Most of them won't do it 15 minutes a day. But that unjust judge through pain, that devil is preaching through pain to your soul that you are not healed 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Or if it's poverty. Or if it's whatever. Circumstances. He's preaching. When you're in pain, that pain is a good preacher. What I mean is it'll preach to you constantly. Relentlessly. Wake you up in it from a dead sleep. You're just trying to get some rest now. You young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But isn't that true? Someone my age here. Someone my age who knows. And it's relentless. It's relentless. You're not healed. You're in pain. You're sick. You're dying. Whatever you'll believe is truth. It's preaching at you, preaching at you. And your job is to take the... Like, you're supposed to be that little widow woman that will not leave your soul alone. You take God's Word and you present it as truth. You present it as truth. You present it as truth. Until your own soul finally makes that decision. All right, all right, all right. You're healed. And the gate opens and God's power flows. And that's called faith. Whew. That woman kept saying in herself, she kept, if you read it in the Greek, it says she kept saying and kept saying, if I may but touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. She's preaching to her own soul. She was ready. Boy, when she touched Him, faith flowed. He felt it come out of His body. It wasn't his faith. He didn't even know who it was. It was her faith. Yes, sir. She touched the truth. She didn't care what the doctor said. We've done all we can for you, lady. Don't even... Well, of course, she'd also used probably all of her money. But we don't have anything else we can do for you. She says, I can still be healed. All I got to do is touch the truth. Now, my question tonight is, what is truth to you? What are you living in? Could be health. Could be finances. I feel like going to that psalm again. Have you forgotten His benefits? Who forgives all thine iniquity, heals all thy diseases. He crowns thy life with loving kindness. We go to the 23rd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. That's what you've got to present as truth to your soul. And I mean present it enough to where a verdict is rendered. Pester your soul. Pester it with the Word of God till you get, till truth penetrates your life. I remember, y'all remember, I'll never escape y'all. Y'all remember when was it 4 years ago now or so, I couldn't hardly walk more than my back was in such terrible condition. I walked at like a 45 degree angle. There was a couple of services I couldn't even stand up to preach. I had to preach from a chair. And Sue, bless her darling heart, because I had just got in the habit of with my mouth agreeing with my circumstances. None of you have ever done this, but I was saying wonderful spiritual things like, my back is killing me. Oh my, if this gets any worse, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I'll probably never get to preach in Korea again. I don't know. I was saying all these wonderful things. Oh God, I'm dying here. It hurt. And it hurt all the time. And I was eating aspirins like candy. Sue, bless her darling heart, she come up to me after one of my wonderful verbal statements. My back is killing me, something like that. And I needed someone who loved me enough even though I'm hurting, and she doesn't like me to be hurting. I was hurting bad, and I was hurting all the time, and there was no relief, and it would wake me up at night. It was bad and getting worse. And she doesn't like it when I'm hurting. My wife does love me. But thank God, in love, not disrespectful. I had said some wonderful thing like, my back is killing me. She just put her little finger right towards my face and said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. That hit me like a sword. It made me angry, to be honest with you, at first. She took a risk. See, you take a risk when you preach like I'm preaching tonight. You take a risk when you tell somebody the truth. Okay, even if you do it in love, like she did. She did it in all the love she could, but she did it firmly. But just for a flash, I was angry. I felt like going, I teach this stuff. Who teaches more on confession than me? But just in a moment, I went, she's right. She's absolutely, there's nothing to do but just humble myself. I said, you're right. And I had to change what I had to start doing, this exact thing. Start presenting evidence to my soul. See, and here's the thing. The truth is, I was healed 2,000 years ago. He wasn't waiting to manifest my healing. It's my own soul was blocking that healing because it chose to believe a lie as truth. You getting this? So I had to start saying it. I don't know how you can present it. If you've got a better way of presenting it to your soul, I don't care. But for me, one good way to start presenting evidence to my soul is stand up in the courtroom and speak. So I just got my 3 or 4 favorite scriptures, the ones I've already used tonight. By his stripes I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. He blesses my bread, blesses my water, takes sickness away from the midst of me. And I just began to confess those things and say those things. And it got worse. What do you think? It's going to happen just because you said it a few times? It got worse. It got to the point I couldn't walk from my own couch to the bathroom, and it's not very far. Our house isn't very big. Here I am. If you can, well, I love you this much. Here I am. It got to where from, this is how I did it. I can't even stand up. It got so bad in my own house. I'm going from the couch to the bathroom. By his stripes, I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my... And I'm doing it out loud. I'm doing it loud. Why? I'm trying to impact my soul. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pain. By his stripes, I'm healed. Back, and I'll talk to it. Back, I call you normal. I call you healed. I'd get in the bathroom. I couldn't even... I'd have to get a hold of the counter and pull myself up, whatever stuff I had to do. I really love you to do that, you know. But I want you to get a picture. Did it get better right away? It got worse. Listen, when you've got the Titanic going in a certain direction, you know, James says you can take a giant ship and you can turn its direction with just a tiny rudder. That rudder is your tongue, he says. But listen, he uses a big ship. It says a big ship. Can you picture the Queen Mary or some giant ship like that, and it's going at full speed a certain direction? And yes, okay, you change the rudder. You do it correctly. Hard stern. However they say that. Hard to port. I don't know what they say. Turn the rudder. That thing doesn't turn on a dime. In fact, from the time you turn that rudder, if it was going in this direction, now it's starting to turn. But it's still going that direction. And it usually gets worse for a while. I've been confessing for a week, 2 weeks, a month. And I'm worse now than I was when I started. That doesn't mean it's not working. You're turning it in the spirit. You're turning it. Eventually that thing will, if you keep saying God's word to the unjust judge, eventually your ship will change direction. And you'll come to the bottom of that roller coaster. You'll start going back up. Your direction will change. And look at me now. And I've been back to Korea and preached again since then. And it's all the glory to Him. It's the truth. It's the truth. All right, let's take another one. You can look these up later. It's Matthew 17. It's the one that Dave teaches every time, uses every time he teaches on fasting. The guy that brought his lunatic son. Now here you've got this, I don't know, it might have been epilepsy, but whatever it was. this was a bad case. It was serious. It said, throw this kid in the fire. He's had it since he was a real little boy. It'd throw him in the fire. It'd throw him in the water. This thing had, you talk about presenting evidence. I bet it was something to watch. But he brought him, the father brought his son in that condition to the disciples. Today, you'd say he brought him to church. Are not we his disciples? Brought him to church. I'm sure they did everything that they'd ever done, everything they'd ever seen Jesus do. They commanded, they used the name, they laid hands on, they shouted, they, whatever they do, you know. But nothing worked. So today, if you brought somebody to a healing service and we shouted and prayed and jumped and used the name and everything and nothing worked. See, that's where those doctrines come from that says, well, see, we did everything. We did everything. It just must not always be his will to heal every time. That is a lie. Because all you got to do is keep staying there. Thank God the story doesn't end there. The truth shows up. Jesus shows up. First off, he's going, what's going on here? And the father's explaining to him. He says, well, I brought my son to your disciples. He's got this thing. And they prayed, they jumped, they shouted, they couldn't get it out. Now, you have to combine the two accounts. One of them's Matthew's, and I think the other one's Mark's. You put those two accounts together because actually Jesus gave three ways that boy could be healed. You already know from Matthew's account, he was upset with the disciples because they didn't get him healed. Did you get that? They didn't get him healed. So he could have got healed on the disciples' faith. They asked him later, away from the crowd, why couldn't we cast that devil out? He just plainly told them, because of your what? Unbelief. It had nothing to do with the will of God. Had nothing to do with that. God was not standing up there saying, I will not heal him. It's not my will. That is an absolute lie. God wanted him healed the whole time. That is the truth. Jesus came to show us the truth. He is the truth. So the first one, the disciples could have used their faith and should have used their faith to get that boy free. If you combine the accounts, at one point he turns to the Father. Jesus turns to the Father and he says, you know, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe. In other words, Daddy, you can use your faith to get this boy healed. By the way, the only one that God did not hold accountable for the faith was the lunatic boy. It is conspicuously absent. Back to the message. I don't think he was accountable anymore. He was too far gone. Okay? But the disciples could have got him healed. The daddy's faith could have got him healed. So the daddy was honest. I love this daddy. He says, I believe. In other words, the way I read that, if I didn't believe at all, I wouldn't have brought him. I believe. In other words, with all that I can, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And you know what? He did. What he does for one, he'll do for you. In one of my face-to-face things, encounters with the Lord, he told me, he says, son, if you ever come to the end of your faith, start drawing on mine. I think that'll get it done right there. Start drawing on my faith. Well, he did it for him. Help thou my unbelief. He did. Now, I'm going to say that whole story. See, that's the way we've heard it all these years. I want to retell it again. There was a lunatic boy. This spirit throwed him in the fire, throwed him in the water. He'd had that thing since he was a little boy. Doctors couldn't help him. So the father brought him to the church. The church, who was really Jesus' disciples, they prayed, they did everything they could do. They couldn't get the boy free. And the doctrine was spread at that point that it's just not always God's will to heal. Because we prayed, we did everything we knew to do, and he didn't get healed. So obviously, it's not God's will to heal. And then the truth showed up. The truth showed up. Jesus, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. The truth showed up. And he showed us what was the Father's will the whole time. What was the Father's will? That that boy be made whole. Whole and healed in Jesus' name. That was the Father's will the whole time. Jesus came to, not only he was the truth, he says, I came to bear witness. I looked up that word, bear witness. It is the Greek word martyrio, M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. It means to be a witness, like in a court, to testify. How about this? To give evidence. Jesus came to give us evidence of what the truth really is. What was the truth? God wanted that boy healed. The truth is, he came to bear record, to be a witness, to give his testimony. What evidence are you presenting to your unjust judge? Yes, sir. Go to 2 John. 2 John. Do you think we're going to have revival if we're just if we think like normal people? What do you think? I got cancer, did you? Oh boy, you're probably going to die. You think that's how revival's coming? Yeah. Lost your leg in a construction accident. We'll petition heaven to get you a plastic one. See, we're not going to think the way the world thinks. The world is doing the best it can in a fallen system where truth is not even available to them. You know what Jesus said? The world, they can't even receive that spirit of truth. But you have the spirit of truth on the inside of you. See, it should be the most natural thing for us. Well, sure. I know the truth. I walk in the truth. The truth is my Father will heal that cancer right now. Come here. Let me get my hands on you. And just be it. Because you have dealt with your own unjust judge to where there's no gateway anymore holding back the resources of heaven. Benny Hinn says, you know, when those miracles are flowing through him, and hey, you know, y'all know any perfect people? I haven't met any yet. I know there's problems, you know. But still yet, nobody can deny the miracles that has flowed through that man. And he says, I just feel like a pipeline or something, like a hose or something. He said, God told me my job is to stand there and be an unobstructed hose or a pipeline, whatever you want to call it, through whom he can flow. And the way I see it, that's what Jesus said about himself. He said, it's not me. I'm not really doing this. It's the Father in me doing the works. Jesus had an unobstructed soul. There was no gate of unbelief holding back God. God could flow through there. There was no unjust judge. Well, I guess he had a soul made like ours, but he had presented enough evidence. Man, I mean, he got verdicts of yes. And the God could flow. Yes, sir. I'm going to have to do that. Some of you weren't here when I did that years ago. Need a chair. I need a lunatic boy. Who wants to be a lunatic boy? Everybody's volunteering. Come here, son. There you go. Got a good one here. All right. Now, I need a disciple of God. Bernard, come stand right here. Because he's grown that beard, so now he looks like Abraham, see? He's going to represent the 12. All right, so he's praying. Here's the lunatic boy, you know. He's come to be healed. This Bernard represents the disciples. Have they not been commissioned to heal the sick and cast out devils? Sure they have. Have we not been commissioned to heal the sick and cast out devils? So they're praying. Of course, I'm doing the message, so I get to be the Holy Ghost, see? So I'm representing the Holy Ghost, and we've already seen, because we read the end of the story, what was the will of God? That he be healed. So the will of God was that the Holy Ghost was able to touch this boy, and whatever was wrong on the inside of him, heal him just instantly. Right? But now watch. When they prayed, the Holy Ghost is there, but nothing happened. And they said, why didn't it happen when we prayed? And he said, because of your unbelief. So there's something in those disciples. Here's the Holy Ghost trying to reach across that void from the spiritual realm to the material realm. Trying. But unbelief. There's something about unbelief that holds back the power of an almighty God. Jesus comes. There's no unbelief in him. And the Holy Ghost goes, And the boy's healed and jumps up and he's rejoicing and happy. And he jumps, yay, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Thank you. Give him a hand. Give them both a hand. That's the power of unbelief. Let's say it another way. That's the power of believing a lie. Say it another way. That's the power of not walking in truth because we don't believe the truth. Jesus says, I am the way and I am the truth. Did I tell you to go to 2 John? I did really good. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching up a sweat, so that's a good thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, 2 John. The elder and the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. In the what? Whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the what? The truth. For the what sake? For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. In what? In truth and love. Now here's the one. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Every person in the sound of my voice, because you're most likely saved already if you're listening to me, whether you're here or around the world, you are walking in a measure of God's truth. You have already received salvation. Why? Because you heard the truth, you acted on it, you believed it, and you were regenerated. You're walking in salvation truth. But it's also true, if I could interview each and every one of you, that there's areas of your life right now where you know you're not walking in truth. It could be healing. It could be finances. It could be wayward children. It could be anything and everything. And you're going, and that enemy is always there pointing out every little fault of yours and telling you, for some mysterious reason, God is holding back your blessing. That whole thing there is a lie. Jesus said, I have come that you have life and have it more abundantly. And in the context, that's John 10, and in John 9, do you remember what he did in John 9? He opened the eyes of a man born blind. Now see, a man born blind, even in modern science 2,000 years later, modern technology today, normally somebody born blind, medical science has no help for them. No way to make them see, even 2,000 years later. And that's not the truth. Even though highly educated people will tell you that it is, there's nothing you can do. Yes, you can. You can pray and believe, and the truth will manifest. In God's realm, it is simple. He opens blind eyes. He makes them if you need them. He makes spare parts. Lost a leg? There's a spare parts shop in heaven. Exaggerating a little, but you understand, you make sense. You can get spare parts. It's quiet in here. See, this kind of thinking is not normal. And you guys should feel really blessed that I consider you not normal. I think you're able to receive this. Because when you got regenerated, there is a new spiritual mind on the inside of your natural mind that is able to receive truth from the Spirit of truth, which really is the Spirit of your Father. And we are those creatures that are living, we are able to function in both realms. Realm of the Spirit. Yes, sir. I never did finish telling you my backstory. That kept getting worse. I kept confessing and presenting the evidence. Now, when you're fighting like that, I don't want you to think that I did it. I didn't. I mean, I could have, but I didn't do it for hours and hours like I did at other times. But I did take it like medicine because the pain was constant. There was no relief from the pain. It got so bad. It was the fall of the year. I don't even remember how long I'd been doing it. I know it was a matter of months. It wasn't weeks. It was months. And I remember it was the fall of the year. We have a big giant tree in our backyard that just drops a ton of leaves. and I needed the leaves needed to be raked. Well, I was so bad I couldn't go out and rake the leaves. The leaves needed to be raked. So you know how I did it? I got me one of them white little plastic chairs. Got me my trash can. Put a bag in it. And I'm sitting there with my rake, reaching as far as I can. I'm raking up leaves. I'm sitting in the chair, raking leaves into a pile, putting them into the trash can. Do as much as I could there. Then I'd get up and, oh man, it hurt me, but I'd move that chair over a little, you know, ways, and I'd redo it. That's the way I'm doing it. And just every now and then I'm saying it again. Father, I just thank you. I call my back normal. I call myself healed. Father, you bless my bread. You bless my water. You take sickness away from the midst of me. I do not forget your benefits, God. You forgive all mine iniquities. You heal all my diseases. And I kept doing it. And I kept going out there and moving that chair. And in one time, I got up to move my chair. And I got up. I mean, I wasn't at a 45. And I went, huh? And I was afraid almost, you know. And then asked, you know, Yeah. You know, doggone, you know. Sue, look at me, you know. And from then till now, I've been pretty much like you see me right now. Just all of a sudden, I didn't hear a crack, a pop. No, I didn't hear no angels singing. There was no evidence that it was coming in the natural. I mean, it wasn't like I got gradually better or anything. I just got up to move that chair like I'd been doing for a couple of hours. Just got up to move the chair, and I just, when I got up, I got up. Because before then, I'd get up like this, and I'd move the chair, and I'd get back in it. Then I'd move the chair, and I'd get back in it. And this time, I got up, and I went, huh? I got up. Huh? Now, I believe with all of my heart, had my darling wife not changed me, got me changing what I was, the evidence I was presenting. At this point now, if I would have kept going downhill as rapidly as I was before, I'd already be out of the ministry. I'd be on Social Security. It'd be pretty well over. Because the enemy is relentless, and he doesn't like you. Have you figured that out? He's not intending on hurting you. He's intending on killing you. And especially killing all of your ministry. And he doesn't care what does it, scandal or back. What does it matter to him? Doesn't matter whether it's, what I mean, you know, get you off into some kind of sin that exposes you as some kind of a fraud. Or bankrupts you. Or puts you in a wheelchair where you can't function. So I ask the question again. What is truth to you? In your life, I would counsel after tonight's message, look at every area of your life. What is truth? Is your life lining up with God's truth? We're all walking in it to some degree. But how much are we walking? And what about those areas where you know? I mean, let's just face it, you know. That is not God's will. That is not God's will. Well, now you know what to do about it. You need to find the evidence in God's word, which is the truth, and then you need to start presenting that evidence to the unjust judge. I usually do it by confession. To me, that's one way that I can stand up in the courtroom and do it. You may have some other way of doing it. I don't really care, but I do care that you do something different than what you've been doing up until now. If we don't do something different, what's that definition of insanity? Just keep doing the same thing and expect different results? Come on. It's not going to happen. You want different results? If I had not have changed what I was saying, the results wouldn't have changed. Hallelujah. Am I preaching okay? Say I am anyway, okay? All right. I never did finish 2 John, though. Let's go up. Because what we want is to walk in the truth. There's a lot of believers, a lot of Christians not walking in much truth. All right, let's go into 3 John. He does the same thing in 3 John. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the what? In the truth. If you have a Bible software on your computer, you'll be amazed. Search truth. Not at this moment, not right now. Some of them have computers in their lap. No. Search the word truth in 1 John through 3 John. You'll be amazed how many verses have the word truth in it. John was the apostle of love. I'm telling you right now, he was also the apostle of truth. Notice how he words this. Whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, and even as thou walkest in the truth. And here he says it again. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The world would have... Okay. I'm already in trouble. I'll just finish it all the way and be completely in trouble. If I had gone the other path, if after Sue had told me to change what I was saying, if I had chosen not to, and just let it get worse and worse and worse. See, and I know, yes, sir, even as I preach this, I always cringe a little bit afterwards. Say, God, why did you do that to me again? Because I know there's people that's going to hear this, that they're in terrible pain, they're in terrible circumstances, and it's hard to hear a message like this. But see, the world, if I would have gone that other direction, and especially if I kept trying to serve God, but I'm still getting worse, and I'm getting worse, and now I got to preach from a wheelchair, but Jesus still loves you. And, you know, this affliction that he's put on me, and but yet he's using this in me to show that you can still serve him even if you're afflicted. And there's a whole ministries based on that. And I could have gotten worse. I actually could have started getting pity and acclaim, even from secular TV and things, you know, I've seen that before. Especially if it starts focusing more on helping people instead of mentioning Jesus. I'm already in trouble, might as well go on. You know. What I'm saying is, I could have lived a lot, from God's point of view, lived more and more and more. The more down I went, the more, as far as he's concerned, the more of a lie I'm living, and the more the world would have exalted me. Because look at how he just glorifies God in his suffering. You glorify God by coming out of your suffering. Jesus already bore that sickness. He bore that pain. Everybody likes to be comforted when they're hurting. Me too. I don't really like it when somebody says, you know, you're hurting, you're laying in a bed, and you're already miserable, depressed. Our devil's already telling you to jump off a bridge, and somebody says, why are you living a lie? That's not the message you want to hear at that moment. But that is the message you need to hear. Or at least if you're past the place of accountability, some loved ones need to hear it. That'll grab hold enough. Because I'm telling you right now, if that centurion could come and get his servant healed, if that woman could come and get her daughter healed, and if Jairus could come and get his daughter raised from the dead, bless God, you can go to the Word of God and get miracles for your family, for your employees, for your daughters, for your sons. You can get miracles for them with your faith. I recommend those messages to you. It's the Word of God. And then you have great preaching material later. All that stuff that the devil's using right now trying to destroy your life. Boy, later on, that's when you get to stand up like that lady that we prayed for years ago, the one that the doctor sent home to die. She was full of cancer from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. They said, there's nothing we can do for you. We didn't even get to pray for her personally. She was 100 miles away in another city. Somebody stood in the line in proxy. Feel the anointing. I'll tell you how it felt. We laid hands on her. It felt like laying a dead fish on a cold doorknob. Now that's how... I mean, I never felt so unanointed in my life. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And God was teaching me. It's not based on feelings. It's based on the truth. We prayed for her. And I found out later that woman today is still in the ministry, and what she does, she goes around with her before x-rays and her after x-rays, which shows she's completely healed of cancer. She says, what he's done for me, he'll do for you. Come up for prayer. See, it becomes testimony time later. Everywhere where you're living a lie, you can change the direction of your ship. One way you do it, James says, you change the direction with that rudder. You change it with the tongue. You start presenting evidence to the unjust judge. You can open that gateway. Maybe God's been trying to get a miracle to you for 1,000 years. In my case. But I've had that I've had the pipeline shut off. I had the big old valve. I've had it shut through unbelief. You know, I can start presenting evidence to the unjust judge and put a little oil in there. You're turning the valve. You know, that thing's rusty, man. It's been closed for 1,000 years. And you can open that rascal and your miracle can flow through the gate of a renewed soul. Did you get anything out of that? I do something different. Don't go home and moan and groan and complain and talk about how bad you got it. I don't want to hear about your mountain. Don't be telling me about your mountain. I won't be telling you about my mountain. And don't go talk to God about your mountain. You talk to the mountain. You start talking to it. Do something different. Man up. Sue says, sometimes we counsel people. This may, some of you may want to cancel your meeting now, but we'll counsel people, and at some point Sue will say, I want to see your man card right now. I think your man card's been revoked. Man up. When are you going to start doing something with your, you know? Time to do something. Don't be doing the same old thing and expect different results. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to quit. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for everything you've done. I love everyone who's sick. I do love you. I'm trying to open the gates where you can receive your healing, because it's already been provided in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.